Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Later today, the winners of the annual James Beard Awards will be announced, honoring chefs from around the country. Three Milwaukee chefs are among the semifinalists for the Best Chef Award for the Midwest: Justin Carlisle, Thomas Hawk, and Karen Bell.
Coincidentally, all three of those were among the eight Milwaukee area chefs who participated in a wide-ranging roundtable discussion that comprises the cover story in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. Senior editor and dining critic Ann Christensen wrote that story and is here to share it. Hi, Ann. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
All right. So let me ask this. This is the first thing that jumped out at me because your name is on this article as an author. This is a roundtable with eight different chefs. You are the dining critic at Milwaukee Magazine. And so, as I recall, you go to some great lengths to keep your identity hidden.
Right.
How did you pull this off?
Yeah, you're thinking, is she sitting at the table with these eight people? Well, no, I'm not. I was on speakerphone. So I set it up, and the eight chefs that we chose for this to sit down and talk about dining topics, we had them meet at kind of a out-of-the-way location, something not in one of their restaurants, which would be, you know, maybe a little odd for them.
Right. Not in an Applebee's.
No. And then we wanted our photographer there, too. And we had to have our whole art staff because they're art directing everything. So our editor, Carol, was the moderator. But beforehand, Carol and I had come up with all these questions we wanted to ask and to engage them in conversation. So, no, I was not there, but I was on speakerphone. And there were lots of little mini tape recorders, including my own, going.
And Carol was kind of your proxy,
was going
in
on
a way.
She was my proxy. Yes, my proxy.
Well, and this has got to be kind of an uncommon experience for someone in your position to be able to ask these people these kind of candid questions and, you know, not worry about them knowing whether you're there or not.
Well, yes, that's true. But at the same time, I wished I had a cam, because in some cases I really was wondering what their body language, their facial expressions were like when they were answering certain questions, or if there was some tension, you know, between certain people. I don't know. I mean,
there are a lot of smiles in the pictures.
Yeah, right. Obviously. But, you know, I mean, some of the chefs are more outgoing. Some are shyer. I mean, they're not used to this sort of attention, and they're used to being in the kitchen. But it was fun, though, I have to say. And, you know, to ask these questions and really kind of find out how much they were, you know, willing to get into it, or, you know, maybe be a little more tactful or diplomatic in the way that they answered a question. But it was all really interesting. And we want to do it again. And I think maybe next time we should get them loosened up with a bottle of scotch or something.
Well, and these people are in a really competitive field. How often do they actually see each other at all?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we wanted to put together so we really, given the dynamics of the group setting, and also just the idea of photographing eight people that we knew that we wanted to put on the cover, we pretty much determined that eight people was our limit. We couldn't go beyond that, even though there are lots of chefs that we would love to have gotten into this group. We also wanted a mix, you know, and obviously we want women's voices, we want minority voices, we want all different kinds of people. It turned out that two people that are on the chef's table are nominated for Beard Awards, James Beard Awards this year. One is a winner. So it was interesting coming up with who was actually going to be in this group of chefs, and then coming up with these questions was a pretty interesting, you know, idea, because you know, the certain things seemed like very like no brainers. Like, you know, what do you think about farm to table?
Right, exactly.
Come on, you know, are you sick of that term? What does it mean? And then there are obviously chefs that just say, well, that's just the way things are, have been and should be. There just is a term for it, you know, and that happens to be something that the public just jumps all over, you know. And, you know, they certainly had things to say about diners and about the increase in knowledge or the, you know, people thinking they have, diners thinking they have more knowledge and coming in with that knowledge and how they behave. That was an interesting offshoot.
Well, and one of the things that struck me was, I think, I can't remember who said it actually, but their attitude towards reviews, which kind of, you know, gets at this whole issue. Some and maybe most say they either don't read them or don't read them closely, mm-hmm. or don't pay a lot of attention. As a restaurant reviewer, how would you hope that these chefs take, you know, the business of reviews? And, you know, did it surprise you to hear what they said?
Well, first of all, the way the question was framed, it was all reviews, reviews by all right. media. But it was interesting how it was changed right away to become Yelp reviews, because that was something that they have very strong feelings about. And though, and people that go on to Yelp are anyone, any diner, or not a diner, anyone. So they could, you know, be someone who just has an axe to grind or someone with a valid complaint. You know, if someone has a valid, I hope they're reading, you know, reviews in the media where there's actually a qualified critic going in and evaluating and hopefully offering some constructive criticism. I don't know that that's necessarily the case in Yelp, and I can see why they would ignore that, because
right. crowdsource reviews often come down to, you know, I didn't like this food, therefore it is not good.
Right. Right. And in fact, I just recently saw a Yelp review by someone who said, well, I only went to this place once and I had one thing, but Yelp really wants me to review this. So I'm going to just say I didn't like this thing, but I only had one thing. But Yelp wants us to review out, so I'm giving you 1 star. Well, how valid is that?
Right.
That's a good example of the type of thing out there. And I can see why that can be very hurtful, too, and very and get them upset, you know.
I think it was Justin Carlisle who says at one point, and I am paraphrasing here, that cuisine is becoming less important than who the team is that's preparing the food. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's a really interesting point because, you know, a lot of restaurants, and I definitely do it. We have a list of restaurants, and we want to be able to label a restaurant. Is it New American? Is it Italian? Is it eclectic gastropub? I recently saw a term, Asian gastropub. I'd never seen that before. And chefs are often very reluctant to label their cuisine because it's so much of a mix of things. And really, it's them. And I think you're finding, and some points were raised, that you go to this restaurant for this person's food, this chef's food, that chef's food, Justin's food, the other Justin Abrahamian from Sanford, his food, Thomas Hauck from circa 1880 and Karl Rasch's. Karl Rasch's may be a German restaurant, but I think you're finding people that are going there now because they're going for Thomas's food. So I think it's a really interesting point. And yes, absolutely, it's happening. It's very, that is a very valid point now.
Would you make the case that that's primarily happening at the higher end of the equation?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that you can say that about, you know, Chinese restaurants or, you know, a lot of Thai restaurants, some maybe, but, you know, or just a burger place. Not really. I would say more fine dining, higher end restaurants. Yeah, good point.
And speaking of burgers and speaking of fine dining, the question came up whether old fashioned fine dining is making a comeback. And what was the consensus there?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, from some of these chefs, I think Thomas Hauck was the one that even mentioned. He mentioned a restaurant from the past called Frenchie's, which, unless you've been around a long time, you wouldn't remember it, but it was a really odd place, funny little place near where Beans and Barley is now. You know, you could get, you know, a New York strip for like, you know, I don't know, $1.50 or something like that. But there was a certain mystique to going there, and you had to wear a jacket. And that there's a nostalgia, and maybe it's a madman thing, but there's a nostalgia for that time of going back and dressing up a little bit. And, you know, having this particular drink in your hand, those old-fashioned cocktails, there's a nostalgia for that. And I think the point was raised that maybe something like that could work again, but not in the same way, in a more modernized way.
Right. And there's a nostalgia, but if you're going to pay, I think Thomas makes the point, if you're going to pay $23 for a cheeseburger, your expectations
exactly.
from it are different than if you pay $8
right,
for one.
Right, right. But, you know, I really think that term fine dining, you know, it's a very different. It's a term that applies to, I think, to small plates. You can go to a small plate restaurant, a certain type of small plate restaurant, order 3 plates, and you're getting into that same 3-4 plates. You're getting that same price range as a fine dining restaurant. That is just getting to be such a loose term now that I think it can apply to so many things.
How did these are 8 diverse people, but how do they see the Midwest being part of who they are and what they're preparing?
You know, every one of them, I think, looks at the Midwest and how it affects their food. I mean, a really good example would be Karen Bell, who owns Bavette, butcher shop in the Third Ward. It's a restaurant as well. And, you know, the meats that she has there, most of them are coming from Wisconsin. You know, I mean, everyone is looking at sourcing. Local sourcing is so important. It's same as this farm to table idea and the idea of seasonality. And the closer it you get it, the better that is for everyone concerned, the farmer, for the restaurant operator. You know, everybody's making a wage that they can sustain themselves. I don't think there is one chef on this list that wouldn't say, you know, it's good for everybody. And plus, why not support our state or the Midwest? And that cuisine, you know, it's maybe kind of how does one describe it? You know, I mean, it's partly the ingredients that are coming from here. It's maybe that homey type of thing. Maybe it's some of these things that people think of as, you know, steak tartare, things that are maybe a little more popular in the Midwest than elsewhere. It's still kind of a, maybe not a very fully defined term, but I think all of them identify with it.
Did you get a sense for how people in, you know, the chefs treat experimentation in a place like Milwaukee versus, you know, if they were applying their trade in New York or mm-hmm. Los Angeles or San Francisco or whatever?
I think it's, you know, it's definitely mixed depending on who you talk to. You know, Justin from Sanford, it was pretty interesting. He worked under Sandy D'Amato, obviously. Sandy owned Sanford before he sold it to Justin. And Sandy's take on trends, you know, and all these trends that they cycle through. They come through, they pass through, they come back again. And that's just the nature of trends. And some people are going to say, you know, I'm going to just do what I do and I'm not going to look at the trends and I'm gonna ignore it. And then others are gonna say, no, I wanna try that. I'm seeing it in other cities. It's really cool. Let's see if I can do it here, but in a fashion that I think as a special or in some way that isn't gonna like break the bank for me. So I think there's some, you know, it's definitely different rules of thought on it.
I wonder if there's just not a critical mass of diners in Wisconsin that's willing to go out on a limb and try something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, it's interesting. I have, you know, friends, and I'm going to be going to New York soon. I mean, you're going to see things in New York that are probably they're never going to come here, or they're going to come here 5 years from. 5 years from now, you know, and something's just because Milwaukee is a town that I think in some ways is sort of impervious to trends. People just don't care as much.
Well, and in a way, I wonder if that's part of the point of a New York or a San Francisco, that these are the places that, you know, that they're really good test markets. And the ones that make it through New York can make it to Milwaukee.
Maybe that could be.
I feel like I just gave Milwaukee a backhanded compliment.
I that's why I was kind of wondering how to respond to that. But I know that you didn't. You meant that as a
right.
as a compliment.
The cream rises to the top, and Milwaukee, you know, we're the cream city.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well put.
This had to be a real eye opener for someone in your business.
Well, it was in the sense of, you know, I don't ask a lot of these questions. I might ask a few of these questions to one person at one time in a phone call because I'm talking to them on the phone, not in person, but to have them all together or eight together. And, you know, maybe somebody's riffing off someone else or feeling like, oh, this person opened the door to this. I'm going to keep that going. Kind of like that topic of the debauchery of restaurants. And when we say debauchery, it's not as debaucherous as you think. It's sort of that idea of, you know, drinking after hours and, you know, whatever, maybe loose talk in the kitchen, that sort
right.
of thing.
The fun that goes along
with it. The fun, right. I guess some of these questions are just not things that I ask on a regular basis, so sure. But it also made me realize that I want to do this again with another set of chefs.
All right. We'll be looking for it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ann Christensen is senior editor and dining critic at Milwaukee Magazine. She wrote the article based on a roundtable conversation the magazine facilitated with eight Milwaukee chefs. It is the cover story in the March issue.